Anthony Hill Jr. is poised to take on a big role for this Titans defense in 2026. But how soon can he win the starting job? Will it happen in training camp? I'll tell you why I don't think so. We're previewing the linebackers today as part of our Tennessee Titans training camp positional preview series. Let's get to it! Welcome, everyone, to another episode of the Music City Audible, a Tennessee Titans podcast. I'm your host, Justin Graver, full-time NFL podcast producer for Odyssey, and joining me, as always, the managing editor of TitanSize.com, publisher for NFL Draft on SI, Justin Mello. Justin, today we're talking linebackers. Central question is, how soon can Anthony Hill Jr. take over a starting role on this Titans defense, and can he become the next great Robert Saleh linebacker? How you doing today, Justin?
I'm doing well, Excited to talk about the linebackers today in our Titans training camp preview series. Robert Saleh's most familiar position. You know, kind of got his start in the NFL coaching linebackers. He's got a lengthy resume, quite the history of developing young linebackers. He's getting a room here where he inherits, you know, Cedric Gray, who set the franchise's single-season tackle record last year. They trade up to number 60 overall to get a Robert Saleh approved linebacker prospect in Anthony Hill Jr. Certainly a Gus Bradley approved prospect as well. Titans defensive coordinator was seen in the draft call video, really pumped up to get Anthony Hill Jr. They also inherit Cody Barron, you know, who Mike Borgonzi signed to a three-year contract, I believe, last offseason in free agency. They inherit James Williams, you know, a former day three pick who's done some good things on defense and special teams. Pretty interesting linebacker room here. I'll quickly start with Cedric Gray, who's the best player in the room, in my opinion. More of the same for Cedric Gray, but a little bit better. You know, it's hard to ask for Cedric Gray to be, at, you know, so much better when he had 160 tackles last year, whatever the heck it was. Top 10 in the NFL and missed a game, I think, and still finished top 10 in the league in tackles. He was a machine around the line of scrimmage. More of the same. Where can he get better? I think there's room to grow in coverage, definitely. Probably the biggest area of his game that can get better. And I'm sure Robert Saleh and Gus Bradley will spend portions of training camp working on that, making him feel comfortable with, you know, spot dropping. Just different landmarks and read and react stuff where he can be better and more instinctual in coverage. But he's not getting a guy that has to be way better than he was a year ago. I think they'll be excited about having Cedric Gray at their disposal in 2026.
Yeah, you hope that this, you know, linebacker core can look something like the Dre Greenlaw, Fred Warner days of San Francisco's Robert Saleh's heyday in San Francisco, where Cedric Gray is one of those and Anthony Hill Jr. is the other one. And I don't know which one is which, but you hope both of these guys we talk about, Anthony Hill Jr., is he the next great Robert Saleh linebacker? Or maybe it's Cedric Gray is the next great Robert Saleh linebacker. Getting coached by this guru of the position could help him have an even better season than he had a year ago, where he was, as you said, Titans leading tackler, franchise record tackles. Like, he was all over the field. I definitely think coverage is still an area he can get better at. And yep. If he does, then he can really take that step and be talked about as one of the top linebackers in the game. And he talked during OTAs and minicamp about what's different for him when it comes to coverage. You're not really getting on a man and sticking on that man, plastering to a tight end or whatever. You're dropping to a spot in, over the middle of the field, that hook curl area of the field, and breaking on balls, you know, coming downhill, triggering after the quarterback throws the ball, reading the quarterback's eyes and trying to get into passing lanes and trying to stop short catches before they can become long catch and run plays, force the quarterbacks to throw underneath and then rally and tackle. That's going to be the job of these linebackers in coverage. Sure, they'll have to carry some players up the seam from time to time, but for the most part, it's going to be a lot more read and react in coverage than it is like sticking to a man. So I think that that can help because it simplifies things. And I like that, you know, Robert Saleh gets to work with Cedric Gray, who really did break out a year ago and now hopefully can take yet another step. But Anthony Hill Jr., Justin, I'm not so confident Anthony Hill Jr. is going to play a massive role in 2026. Could he? He certainly could. Fred Warner was a third-round pick of the San Francisco 49ers, started from week one his rookie year. Bobby Wagner was a second-round pick of the Seattle Seahawks in 2012 when Gus Bradley was the defensive coordinator, started week one his rookie year. These two coaches have a history of drafting a linebacker on day two and starting them from week one as rookies.
Was Salah not there in Seattle too for the Bobby Wagner thing?
Yes, he was the he was a defensive quality control coach at that time. So he saw it happen, but he definitely didn't have a hand in the decision making. But I also don't know. I mean, I'd have to really go back and do some roster autopsies on those teams. I don't know that they had a entrenched veteran starter like Cody Barton on those. Maybe they did. Maybe they didn't. I don't know. And, you know, I can already hear our Audible Army audience groaning at the fact that I'm calling Cody Barton an entrenched starter. But look, the fact of the matter is, you said it. Mike Borgonzi signed him to a 3-year contract. Now, new coaching staff. Maybe he doesn't fit the scheme as well or whatever. Cody Barton talked about how he wants to be better in run defense this year, that he was actually pretty good in coverage last year, and that he had come into last season thinking, I need to be better in coverage, because he had struggled at that the year before. And then he said, like, this year, I'm not looking at one area of the game that I need to focus on. I just need to be good everywhere in run defense and in pass coverage and not sacrifice one for the other, whatever. And I get it. Cody Barton is a limited player in the grand scheme of football, but he is a knowledgeable player and he is a great communicator. And if you listen to the coaches talk about his communication abilities, I just think that they are really going to value that. And if Anthony Hill Jr. can pick it all up in training camp and prove to be just as good of a communicator as Cody Barton, then sure, maybe he gets on the field early. And Gus Bradley has also said that they're not looking necessarily for the best communicator to win the job. They're looking for the best player, and then they will pick the best communicator of the best players to wear the green dot. So maybe it's all, I'm getting concerned over nothing here. I've just watched a lot of NFL football, and I've gotten excited for a lot of rookie players who took 10 weeks or so, or a whole season, or maybe a month, but not week one. It took them a while to get on the field to prove the coaching staff that the coaching staff could trust them with those responsibilities of playing in a complex NFL defense. So I'm just not sold that Anthony Hill Jr. is going to be a massive contributor starting in week one.
I know it was due to injury, but remember how pumped we were about Cedric Gray being an instant contributor? He did nothing as a rookie the entire year, and then has the huge breakout year as a sophomore. So I think there's a lesson to be learned there, right? Number one, don't get too excited too fast. But also number two, don't write off Anthony Hill Jr. if it doesn't happen for him right away. If it didn't happen for Cedric Gray right away, and look at the sophomore year that he ended up having. So I'm with you. Now, I think if I were to make an official prediction, is that Anthony Hill will play a big role in 2026, but it's going to be gradual. It's not going to be right away. I think when they line up on defense week one, the New York Jets, it's Cody Barton and Cedric Gray for the first snap. And it's like that for most of the game and most of the first few weeks. There's a natural process to it, right? Where a rookie just starts to come on, get more comfortable, feel better about playing in the defense, football IQ perspective, responsibilities perspective. I think that's going to happen for Anthony Hill as it goes on. And say what you will about Cody Barton, but he's a super smart, like you said. He's very mature. He's a great leader. There's a lot of things they love about Cody Barton. Mike Borgonzi raved about him when he signed him to that 3-year deal, just talking about how they're changing the culture. He is that kind of guy who I think helped them do that last year and can continue moving things forward. So I think they really like Cody Barton, and I don't think they're in a hurry to strip him of playing time or strip him of his starting job. Anthony Hill, if Anthony Hill starts in week one, neither you or I are going to be complaining. We're going to be really pumped about it. It means he had one heck of a training camp, right? Removed all doubt that he knows everything. He knows everything what to do in this playbook, knows how to help run this defense. Like, it would be a heck of a development for this defense. I think it's Cody Barton in week one.
I think it is too. I think it certainly raises their ceiling if Anthony Hill Jr. wins the job. But I would, like you said, we'd be thrilled, but I'm not expecting it. I will say he might be the player I am most excited to watch during the preseason because I feel like he's going to play a lot so that they can really test him both athletically, physically, on the field, and mentally. Like they're going to want to get a good sense of what he can do and how quickly he can do it. So I think he's going to play a lot during the preseason, and I think we're going to see him around the ball a lot when he is playing. So I'm excited to watch him play. I just think that they're going to be a little bit more cautious and take it a little slower than most Titans fans would probably hope or expect. Justin, we're going to take our first break here. When we come back, there's a lot of guys competing for the next spots in this room. How does James Williams fit in? Who's going to be the key special teamer linebacker? Because there's going to be at least one. We'll talk about that after the break. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. We talk about mental health more openly now, but asking for help can still feel hard, and BetterHelp's latest research confirms it.
BetterHelp's 2026 State of Stigma report surveyed 2,000 Americans and revealed that 85% of Americans believe getting support is wise, yet 74% say society discourages people from actually doing so. What can we as a society do to close this gap between believing in mental health support and actually seeking it out?
Well, we can start by encouraging each other to seek support when we need it. And if you're thinking of starting therapy, you should know that BetterHelp is the world's largest online therapy platform.
All you have to do to get started is fill out a short questionnaire, and BetterHelp takes care of matching you with a therapist. The best part? If you aren't happy with your match, switch to a different therapist at any time from any of BetterHelp's tailored recommendations.
Don't let stigma stand in the way of support. Start therapy with BetterHelp. Sign up and get 10% off at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com. Welcome back. All right, so the top three linebackers are obviously Cedric Gray, Cody Barton, and Anthony Hill Jr. Second, the last two of those, put them in the order that you prefer. There are six other guys in this room, Justin, competing for probably one, maybe two roster spots, yeah. Again, depending on how this team constructs their special teams unit, how many fullbacks and running backs and wide receivers and cornerbacks they throw on this unit. We'll inform how many linebackers they keep on the team as well. James Williams returns along with Dorian Mousey. The team signed Mohamed Diabate in free agency, and then they added three UDFAs, Manny Powell, Sean Brown, and Shad Banks Jr. Justin, I'm going to go right on the record now and say UDFAs are always fun and exciting because you never know when you're going to uncover a diamond in the rough, but I do not really expect the UDFAs in this position group to have much of a fighting chance. I just think it is too stacked of a room. I still like James Williams. I don't know why. It seems like the coaching staffs he's played for in Tennessee don't seem to like James Williams. When he gets on the field, he makes plays. So I think James Williams makes the team as at least a special teams guy. He was a big-time special teams guy, punt coverage, kick coverage player last year. When they signed Mohamed Diabate, we thought, oh, that's a special teams signing. But Dorian Mousey is the dark horse in this room to make the roster as a guy that probably is a bit more underrated by the Titans fan base than he is by the Titans coaching staff. Easton Freeze wrote an article a few weeks ago talking about players to know before training camp and included Dorian Mousey as a guy who is probably going to be a big special teams guy and somebody who may actually be the fourth or fifth linebacker on this roster ahead of Diabate, ahead of James Williams, and clearly ahead of the three UDFAs.
Yeah, I wonder if patience is running thin on both sides with James Williams. And I, you know, the Titans haven't given him a lot of opportunity to play. So I don't think patience should be running that thin on their side. But like, I want to say he started like week 18 last year or played a lot and was really good. Like, I've always felt like James Williams was capable of playing pretty good football if he played, but he's never really played on defense. So I get the sense there's some frustration on his side. Surrounding a lack of opportunity on defense. He wasn't drafted by Mike Borgonzi. I get the vibe he's not a Borgonzi guy through and through. I honestly wonder if he could be a surprise cut. You know, I wouldn't cut him. I think he's their fourth best linebacker. He was really good and notable on special teams last year. But I wonder if both sides are kind of reaching a fork in the road where they're like, hey, you know, this relationship has run its course. And I do think a guy like Dorian Mousey, who, by the way, is the only survivor of the Titans' four waiver claims at the end of beginning of 53-man roster cuts last year. Like, remember when they had number one priority? They added four guys through waiver claims. He's the only one who's still here. We were excited about having the number one priority. Well, congrats. You got four guys, and you might have gotten a special teams linebacker out of it, right? Like, that's reality, right? Instagram versus reality meme, right? Like, this is what you end up with. Maybe it's Dorian Moxey, who's the fourth linebacker on this team, and it's not James Williams. I don't know. I like James Williams, but I think it's possible that he doesn't make the team. And Moxey, who is, you know, more of a Mike Borgonzi guy, maybe doesn't have any complaints about his role. You know, all of that may be combining to be a surprise that gives him the upper hand over James Williams. I think that's possible.
I think it's definitely possible. I think James Williams is another one of those guys Titans fans overrate. And I think that, I mean, if you remember where we were this time last year, doing our linebacker preview, we thought James Williams and Cody Barton were going to be the starters because that's what it looked like throughout OTAs and minicamp. That's how training camp looked for 3 weeks or 4 weeks or so about that time. And then like the last week or so of training camp, it was like, wait a sec, Cedric Gray is running with the first team. Wait, is Cedric Gray the start? Wait a second. I think Cedric Gray is the starter. And then Cedric Gray was the starter and he was great. It was the right choice. The coaching staff made the right call last year by putting Cedric Gray in that role. And so maybe there is some stuff behind the scenes that we don't know about with James Williams that rubs the staff the wrong way. But I could see a world where it's Moxey and Diabate as the two guys. I mean, they signed Diabate in free agency. They clearly saw something that they wanted to bring in and bring to this roster. So they went and signed him. It's definitely possible that those two guys are more Mike Borgonzi guys than James Williams, and that James Williams gets a fresh start somewhere else this season. Do you know anything about Manny Powell, Sean Brown, or Shad Banks Jr.? Because I do not.
It seems like they're up against it in this linebacker room, right, to make the roster. But Manny Powell, three different programs in college, right? Typical nowadays in the NIL era, Arkansas, UNLV, and Purdue. Purdue last year, his only year at Purdue, you want to talk about a breakout season? He had 110 tackles, 12 TFLs, and 5 sacks. He was really, really productive at Purdue last year. So yes, I'm incredibly intrigued by Manny Powell. It's too bad that this room is sort of as crowded as it is, because I'm super, super intrigued by him. How about Shad Banks, who was at UTSA, an older prospect, after 4 years at TCU, he makes the transition to UTSA last year. 94 tackles, 7.5 tackles for loss, 2 sacks, 3 fumbles recovered. So they went out and got some UDFAs at linebacker who were really, really productive in their final season college football. I remember, you know, hearing, assessing a little bit, both Manny Powell and Shad Banks throughout the pre-draft process. If this room wasn't so crowded, I'd probably give them better chances to make the fit. But hey, if they keep 5 and James Williams isn't one of them, you know, all of a sudden there's a pathway there for one of those UDFAs. I'm ultimately predicting it's going to be 4. And I think I will go bold. I think Dorian Moxey is my pick to be the final linebacker on this 53. And they cut both, James Williams and Mo Diabate.
Interesting. Yeah, I think I'm kind of with you. If they only kept 4, that's probably what I would predict as well.
5 is very possible. I'm sorry, not to cut you off. Like, it's very, like, it just feels like both of us are so set on 4. Very possible it ends up being 5.
No, I would say I've been talking about it like they're going to keep 5 for this whole episode until you just mentioned if they only keep 4. But I do think if they only keep 4, there's a real world where James Williams is the odd man out, and we'll see how it all plays out. That is it, our linebacker preview. Titans training camp positional previews roll on the rest of this week. Tomorrow we got the defensive ends. Friday we're doing defensive tackles. Jeffrey Simmons poised for a breakout plus year, a superstar ascent, a defensive player of the year worthy season. I'm excited for Friday's episode. Talk about how good Jeffrey Simmons can be in Robert Saleh's defense. And then Monday, I'm more excited for this. Monday, we're going to talk about quarterback season 3 featuring Cam Ward. So make sure you're subscribed to this channel, like the video, and comment below. How soon do you think Anthony Hill Jr. takes over as a starting linebacker in this Titans defense? Is it week 1 or is it sometime later in the season? Let us know your thoughts. We will get in there and respond to you. Until tomorrow, talking defensive ends. Y'all stay safe out there, and tighten up.
A Broadway Sports Media production.